And listen to this, Pamela was saying. She had withdrawn Rami Gandalf's rap sheet from the thick folder on her lap and read out the entries. Gandalf was a thief and a fence. He had half a dozen convictions, burglary, theft, possession of stolen property several times. But nothing with a gun, said Pamela. No violence, no female victims. How does he suddenly become a murderer? Practice, 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 answered Arthur. From the corner of his eye, he saw Pamela's full mouth turn briefly downward. He was screwing this up, as always. Arthur did not know exactly what he had done wrong with women to leave him single at the age of 38. Appearance was one issue, he realized. He'd had the droop and pallor of middle age since his teens. In law school, he'd had a brief, hurtful marriage to Maria, a Romanian immigrant. After that, for a period, he seemed to have neither the inclination nor the time to start again. He had given so much to the law, so much fury and passion in every case, so many nights and weekends where he'd actually felt pleasure in having solitary time to concentrate. And his father's declining health and the question of what would become of his sister, Susan, had also been draining preoccupations for years. But now, seeking even the faintest sign that Pamela had had some interest in him, he felt humbled by his foolishness. His hopes with her were as unlikely as hers for Gandalf. In another 15 minutes, they had arrived at Rudyard. In the prison guardhouse, they signed in, then were directed to a worn bench for the long wait while Rami was brought down. In the interval, Arthur reviewed Rami's letter, which had arrived via various intermediate hands at the Court of Appeals. It was composed in a hodgepodge scrawl with multicolored markings and other features too irregular even to be called childish. Just looking at the letter, you knew that Rami Gandalf was both desperate and crazy.
Dear Judge, I'm on death row for a crime I never committed. They say I've all my appeals and all come out against me. Even so, I am innocent. Can't somebody over there help me? I'm going to be killed, and I never hurt no one. Not in this case or any other time that I remember. Right now, help me. I didn't kill no one, ever.
The United States Court of Appeals had entered an order treating Rami Gandalf's correspondence as a successive petition for relief under the federal habeas corpus statute and appointing a lawyer for him, Arthur. Judges often wave their magic wand at random to turn some unwilling toad, a fully occupied lawyer, into a pro bono prince with a demanding, new, non-paying client whom the rules of the court required he accept. Eventually, Rami's name was called. Pamela and Arthur were patted down in the holding area, and then the first of many electronic bolts was shot, and a door of bulletproof glass and iron crossbars clanked irrevocably behind them as they followed a guard. Down a low brick corridor, they approached a door of green metal plating. On it was stenciled one word, condemned. Inside, they were steered to the attorney's room, which was not really one room but two, a space no more than 5 feet wide, divided by a wall, which yielded halfway up to an arrangement like a teller's drive-through window, a pane of glass with a metal trough beneath to allow papers to pass. Although it violated every principle of attorney-client confidentiality, the correctional system had won the right to keep a guard posted in the corner on the prisoner's side. Behind the window was Rami Gandalf, a brown-skinned wraith with a head of wild hair swallowed in the loose folds of the yellow jumpsuit worn solely by inmates who'd been sentenced to death. His arms were shackled, and thus he was required to reach with both hands for the phone that would allow him to converse with his lawyers. On their side, Arthur picked up the lone handset and held it between Pamela and himself while they introduced themselves.
"Y'all were the first real lawyers I had," Rami said. "Rest were state defenders. Think maybe I got a chance now. I got real lawyers."
Rami leaned close to the pane to explain his predicament.
I'm the next yellow man taking a walk. You know that? Everybody looking at me already like something ought to be different because I'm going to be dead so soon."
Pamela bent at once toward the document passage and spoke encouraging words. They were going to get a stay of execution today, she promised.
Yeah, said Rami, because I'm innocent, man. I ain't killed nobody. I want that DNA test, man. See if I got any.
DNA, always the first thought these days, held no hope for Rami, because the state had never claimed he had left at the scene any identifiable genetic evidence, blood, semen, hair, tissue scrapings, even saliva.